This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, it's hour number three, Felger and Mass here on Agenda Free Friday, presented by the Bernardi Auto Group. Felger and Mass is presented in totality by DraftKings. And Chris Gasper now joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He's powered by the commuter rail. Again, we're like a NASCAR. I love it. I'm going to sell everything. Hop on board this weekend and take the train for unlimited trips for just $10. Hit the slopes, go ice skating, see a game, or check out a show. Kids 11 and under ride free. So get out and enjoy some weekend winter fun. Plan your trip at mbta.com/massbytrain and get tickets on the M-Ticket app. Christopher, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Where do you think we stand with Tom Brady this week? As it turns, the Brady watch is still on.
Yeah.
Can you read into Robert Kraft saying in New York the other day, that's the plan? Do you read into Adam Schefter saying the other day the Pats aren't going to be waiting for Tom Brady like they waited on Rob Gronkowski? They learned their lesson on that. They want an answer from Brady now, et cetera, et cetera.
I think what you can read into it is that everybody's posturing. Everybody's trying to get leverage. You know, I think from Kraft's side of it, again, I don't think that he wants to be blamed if Brady walks away. So he says, you know, we plan on him coming back. He didn't say we want, we need, or he will be back. Did you notice that? He didn't say his plan. There's lots of things. Like, you know, I said this before on NBC Sports Boston. Like, every year I plan that I'm going to get into the best shape of my life. It doesn't happen.
Chris,
so there's a lot of things you can plan to do that you don't have to do, that you don't end up actually bringing to fruition.
Do you think that March 15th is a real deadline?
I don't. I think that they just want to prevent Brady from going out there. I think Brady's camp is of the mind of,
what if Belichick's at the deadline? You think it's fake?
I do. I think. Do you really think that with Tom Brady still out there, that Bill would be like, yeah, Marcus Mariota, we're moving on?
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. I don't think.
Look, Bill, I mean, the guy's human. He makes mistakes. That would be another one.
Yeah, I'm not. Again, I'm not debating whether or not it's a mistake. What I asked you was whether the deadline was real or not. My feeling is if Bill set the deadline, it's real. If Kraft set the deadline, maybe not.
I don't think it's real. I think it's posturing. I think that they're afraid of him getting an offer from another team and then shopping it back to them. I mean, you know this. You covered the team. It's much easier for them to say, just take what we're giving you, than when somebody gets out in the market or somebody, Eric Mangini, whispers in their ear that they can get more money. Say you're like Deion Branch. That type of thing happens. It tends to make these negotiations a little more tricky for the Patriots than they care for, especially in Bill's stance.
So if you don't believe it's real, but if they are asking for Brady for an answer early, that has to come with an offer, right?
Correct. I think so.
Do we have any reason to believe that there's been an offer made? Does Brady understand what he could make here, and where does that stand?
I don't know anything about that. I don't. I mean, it's entirely possible that they've made an offer. I'm not aware of that. But I think it's interesting at this point. I think that to get anything close to what Tom wants, he probably needs to leverage some sort of other offer from some other team. Because I think, again, and I've said this to you guys for a couple of weeks now, it's like a standoff, and everybody's waiting for the other person to blink. So Belichick's waiting for Brady to blink, because he always does. Brady's waiting for Kraft to blink, saying, he's not really going to let me walk. There's no way. He'll come in and save me at the last second. And I think Kraft is sort of waiting for both Belichick and Brady to blink and say, well, you know what? We need each other. Whatever. Fine. You know, I'll meet you halfway. So they're all waiting for somebody else to compromise. And I think it's going to be that way. And I think it will sort of be like the same way it was with Bill and Tom and that sort of offseason that was a Cold War after 2017, where it's like when there's really no stakes, like nobody's going to give. It's like you're not going to give Guerrero back, or you're not going to say, okay, I'll take this deal with incentives. There's no stakes right now. There's not stakes until there's like a deadline. So I think it's posturing season for everybody.
Okay, do you think Brady is going to take it into free agency? I mean, Bedard writes, yeah, you know, the Pats want an answer. They want to know early, and Brady should lose their number. Tell them to pound sand. You know, you never took care of me when you had the chance, and now you want to, you know, get this wrapped up? Screw you. And that's pretty much what Bedard's take would be there. What would you – do you think Brady has any chance to take that stance?
Yeah, I mean, I think he obviously wanted – the ability to get to free agency. He knows what's happened since 2017 when he's been trying to get this deal and it hasn't happened. I read Bedard too, and Bedard raised a good point. I mean, look, they've had ample opportunity to make sure he doesn't get to free agency, and
they haven't
done the deal. They haven't done it. So now Tom, for the first time in his career, has the opportunity to see what his worth is on the open market and bring that back. And again, I think that from the Brady side of it, to your point, Maz, I think they have a hard time believing that Kraft will say to Belichick, go ahead, sign Andy Dalton. You know, we're closing the door on Brady. He might say, hold on a second. You know, okay, you got this deal with Dalton lined up. Let's see what Tom brings back. Let's see if we can work this out. I think it would be hard to envision a scenario where Bill just goes ahead, especially in the wake of the Antonio Brown thing, where they just say, go ahead, you just do whatever you want and we'll rubber stamp it afterwards. I think that they would say, okay, that's great. This is a good plan B. Let's make one last run at Tom before they say, okay, we're moving on with Dalton or Marcus Mariota or somebody like that.
Well, the other thing is by setting it up this way, they do get they you know, open up the possibility to say Brady left. I mean, we wanted it done.
Well,
by
that PR game, yeah.
Yeah, we wanted it done
it's
by
a
the
big part of this.
We wanted it done by the 15th. Tom went to market, and then it, you know, the numbers got too crazy, and we couldn't do it.
It's a good point, man.
Right. So
he asked not to be franchised.
Right.
He asked to make it to the 16th.
Correct.
He's the one that took the visit.
Yeah.
You know, we were sitting here with an offer, and he's the one that kept pressing free agency. We tried.
Yeah. Of course, they didn't have to give it, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying they didn't have to give him the franchise, it, you know, tag
of course,
or the removal of it, but they decided to because they don't want the burden of having chased Tom Brady out of town. They don't want that.
Finally, Gasper,
yeah,
what does the family situation play into it? And you know, we had the tabloid reports, and which are not new, by the way. But what do you think the family that component? How does it play into the decision and where we're at?
Can you be more specific on that? I'm not familiar.
Do you think
with the tabloid?
Oh, you're not?
No. What's the
got
tabloid?
It right?
Oh, bull crap! Give me that.
Give it to him. Like you don't subscribe to this.
Please,
of course
you, know
you
this.
Do.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
What?
I mean, it says it's over, Chris.
I'm home.
And when it's in print, it's over.
Life and Style magazine. Giselle dumps Tom.
I haven't heard of Life. Is that like us? What's Life and Style?
It's like us. Exactly. Like, for example, I mean, again, I did this earlier. There's a great spread on who wore it best, the winter whites.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, you and I will go over this later.
Yeah, let's do that.
But Giselle dumps Tom, fights, lies in separate bedrooms. Quote, nothing he did was ever good enough, end quote, which again, I feel you, Tommy. I feel you on that one. Why she hated their Massachusetts mansion. If you read the story, it was tacky.
Oh, really?
It's also in Massachusetts.
600.
But it was the same. Yeah, it was the same designer who did the house in Brentwood.
I don't know why. I'm just telling you what was in the story. And if it's in print, it must be true. As Murray said, lately things have gone from bad to worse. They've been having some nasty blowouts, says the source. One was after Giselle told Tom that a psychic told her to leave him. Again, I feel your pain, Tommy, if that's what she's coming back with. But the psychic said we should split. Ay vey. So on and on and on. So what?
I thought G was all about peace and love.
What can I tell you? They're always at odds. A big part of the problem for years, Giselle has been begging Tom to retire. But although his contract with the Patriots is now up, the athlete says it's unlikely he'll step away from the field. So a disappointed Giselle would be looking at least another year of sleeping in separate bedrooms.
In this frozen prison. With these fat, gross people.
It's like the ice hotel.
So now I've just brought you up to speed.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any of that. So
what's the family component?
I don't know now that you brought that to my attention.
Let me tell you what's significant, and this is what I've been saying all week.
Go ahead, sure.
That if they lead separate lives, and, you know, we have Brady cuts even from his tabloid fluff TV piece that he did with Extra or whatever the hell that was, ETV, a couple weeks ago or a month ago, where he said, you know, it's like ships passing in the night and we have to work to find time together. And he sort of intimated that they lead separate lives. So whether this crap is true or that crap, if it's somewhere in between, if there's some sort of separate life situation. That I think it makes it far more likely that he goes to another team.
That makes sense.
And sort of like a random team. Like, for example, I don't see the whole Brookline family Brady unit uprooting and going to Nashville or Vegas or a team like that. But Brady on his own, I can see it. And I think if it were separate lives, that opens it up for Brady to go somewhere else. That's my take on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, if that's true, and it seems, you know, dubious. Doesn't seem like the greatest source in the world.
Nope.
Yeah, but I could eat, you know, again, taking that out of it, and maybe there is some sort of arrangement for him to play another year or two where it's sort of, I've mentioned this in the past, sort of the Roman Pfeiffer thing, where you're in another city, but, you know, Monday and Tuesday, the team lets you go home to spend time with your family, just be back on Wednesday for practice, and maybe the family can come out on Friday, and they're there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, there's ways you can work around that stuff. I don't think that there's anything that's, you know, at this point, I don't think there's really anything that would keep him from playing in another place. I think there's things that you can work out.
Okay, so...
But this is news to me. I had not
yeah,
read
right,
this
sure
particular
it is.
Magazine. Right,
yeah, whatever.
You're so full of crap.
Yeah,
so
it is. I don't know any of this. How would I know about that?
You knew about the story even if you hadn't read it.
I didn't.
Yeah, sure you did.
Seriously.
That they've broken up?
Well, he got dumped.
Yeah, that something's going on there. I think you'd know.
Of course he knows. Would you stop?
I don't know. I didn't know anything about that.
Okay, so the Brady stuff, we'll let you bash Garoppolo here coming up in a second. I saw your emails late coming in here. You guys have just something. You got all something cooked up. It's fine. We can do a little Garoppolo
conspiracy
bashing.
With him and Murray.
Just some facts. We just
it's fine. You can bring
facts as we lead into this exciting Super Bowl.
Bring your facts to the table. I do have a new prediction on Brady, and that is I would not be surprised one bit if the Patriots swing a trade for Dalton or Mario or something. And they can't obviously file the paperwork until we get to the league year. But like Flacco was reported to have been traded last February, that they pull something like that before we get to that. Because what do they typically do in this situation? They get the next guy before they negotiate with this guy. Usually, right? They had Rodney Harrison when they let go Lauren Malloy. They had Danny Amendola when they let Wes Welker go. There's several examples of this. They had Stephon Gilmore when they said Malcolm Butler, go piss off. Right? So they've had a bunch of examples like that.
Sure.
And
I'm not always.
I'm curious if they do that at the quarterback spot. That would let me know that Bill's driving the bus.
But what if that leaks out? Like, how does that
the whole point is it has to leak out.
How does that make him look?
Let Brady know. Well, I mean, Tom, we can't sit around and wait for your answer. We've got to have something in place in case you can't make up your mind or you don't want to come back. Again, it's another way they could put it on him, even though they're not trading for Drew Brees. They're trading for a middler.
When we come back, I want to know, like, if they can't have Brady, who's next on your list?
Okay, well, Murray's got Mike Glennon and...
No, you forced me into that.
Well, this is what we do, Stu. This is what Stu does. He forces you into opinions and takes. So
good for the show. It's drawn a lot
exactly.
of ratings in my
Correct.
Ears here.
Yep, it sure has.
He choked.
He had Mike Glennon and who was your third bum?
Chase Daniel.
Daniel. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
For spite.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Gun to my head. I got to go with these bums. I'm going to go with the biggest bum.
So I want to hear your guy. I want to hear your guy when we come back and we'll let you bash Garoppolo right after these words.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Well, here's the situation. I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting till March 16th to get an answer from Tom Brady. Right? Last year, Rob Gronkowski wound up retiring in late March. Now, I don't know the conversations they didn't have before, but New England missed the window on free agent tight ends. So I don't think that they're going to let Tom Brady go to free agency, all of a sudden sign with Team X, and then on March 20th say, well, what do we do at quarterback now?
So
that's not the way that organization operates.
All right, there's that Schefter thing again. Gasper. So, if they decide they're not going to do Brady.
Yeah.
And they're going to have, and Stidham's not ready. All right. Because I think most of us agree that that's ideally the best outcome is that if Stidham.
Yeah,
would
I mean, you have him 10-6 this year with Stidham, right?
I have him 10-6 with Andy Dalton now, too.
Okay.
I would just like to amend that slightly by saying they're going to win the division. So that might be 9-7, but you're going to win the division next year no matter who your quarterback is. So that's you can take that to the bank.
But you said this year, too, you thought they would have won the division with Stidham, right?
Oh, yeah, they would have won the division with Stidham this year. Yes, they would have. I lost my train. Okay, so...
Who would I want, right?
So, yep, who's your guy?
I would say Marcus Mariota.
Oh, God. Ugh,
boo.
I know Hawaiian Tebow, but I'm telling you, like...
I love it.
I think Josh McDaniels...
God, your credibility takes a hit.
Could make it work with him. He is accurate, especially on the short stuff and the dink and dunk. That's what he does best, and he's mobile.
Dinker, right?
And, like, when they had Matt Castle in 2008, they threw all those wide receiver screens.
Love it.
They did all this stuff. Mariota can do that stuff. And some of the stuff that they got beat on this year that they then tried to, like, incorporate into their offense, you know, like against Houston and all that stuff, Mariota can do that stuff, too. So now they'd have, like, a running element. So I would say Mariota.
I am so ready for this. Murray, I am so ready for this. I'm so excited to do this. Do you understand the balls it takes for Bill Belichick to say, nope, we don't want Tom Brady. We want Andy Dalton to be our quarterback or Marcus Mariota. Do you understand?
And I will pray to the take gods that it blows up in his face.
Do you understand the chutzpah, the balls it takes?
The hubris.
Those hubris moves, again, they always work out so well for him.
The idiocy, whatever you want to call it. The gall. Who does that? No, Tom, we don't want Tom Brady. We want Andy Dalton. And then to do it. And then actually have it work, if it worked, oh.
You'd be back on the boat, it sounds like.
Oh, right. That would be so good.
Yeah,
that
you'd be back.
Going to rename that boat from Eight Rings to the Facilitator.
That would be so good. That would be a great story.
You'd be back on the boat kissing the rings and kissing the feet again.
And you know what? If it fails, we bash the crap out of Bill. If it works, it's like...
Genius.
Holy crap. He did what? And they still won the division? Like, that's good eating. I am ready to throw my support behind whatever crap bum he brings in here. I am so ready for this. I can't tell you.
I mean, that Peter thing King's coming. Peter King thing. Jesus.
Peter King thing.
That's coming from somewhere. Like, I know that Peter King said, you know, I'm somewhere along the line in the last, I don't know, 5 years, he had a conversation with Belichick where Andy Dalton popped
up. He doesn't talk to Bill, but he talks to someone.
Yeah, he's on the outs with Bill.
He's on the outs with Bill.
After Spygate.
But I heard Andy Dalton again last night, and this is just sort of media circles. I'm not going to reveal, but it's like media people who talk to people who are kind of in the know. Andy Dalton's name came up again. And Jimmy, you've heard this too?
Yeah, Andy Dalton is a hot name.
Absolutely it is. I've heard it too, yeah.
Andy Dalton.
Which sucks and blows, Mike.
Do you understand? Right, because your initial
he's
thing
a red angle.
The red rifle.
Andy Dalton sucks.
Yeah, he does.
And if Bill has the balls to do that, the gall to do that, and then if it works, Oh, that's so good.
But
so
again, work,
all I'm telling you is...
And then we bash the crap out of him.
I don't know whether he had the conversation with Bill. Someone in Bill's circle planted that in King's ear. That somewhere along the line, somebody near Bill said, if Dalton had a coach, he'd be okay.
No. There have been some ginger plantings going on because it's out there.
All right. Dennis the freaking menace.
Let's now commence the Jimmy Garoppolo bashing portion of the program. What do you guys have?
What are you talking
Before
about?
Before we get to that, can I just say, because Gasper mentioned Mariota.
Yeah.
If Mariota is the next quarterback of the Patriots... next season on Fridays, you can talk to Felger and Murray. I'm taking the hour off.
Oh, I'm so in.
Really?
I'm so in on Marcus.
This is like
Mariota.
Carmelo Anthony, like Mariota in, Maz out.
Exactly. Yep, I said that yesterday. I just wanted to make sure you knew the rules before you actually rooted for something.
No, that's fine. I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, if Tannehill can get it done, Mariota definitely
can.
Mariota blows.
I can't wait for the Patriots to win the division with one of these crappy quarterbacks.
It's I don't want to get bogged down in this, but did he blow last year when he kicked the Patriots' ass in Nashville?
Yeah.
He lit him up.
Yeah, he sucks. The Patriots sucked in that game. I don't care.
I don't know. Dalton threw four picks against the Patriots this year, but
what's that got to do with anything? You were talking about Mariota. I'm just saying
the last time Mariota played the Patriots, he won. Dalton played, he was terrible.
I'm so sick of you two faking it on Garoppolo.
We're not faking it. Jim, would you like to start?
No, you're the guest. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just so I just think it's really interesting. Yeah, obviously we all watched the NFC Championship game. The Niners became only the fifth team since 1980 to win a playoff game while completing six or fewer passes.
So?
The last time that happened was Joe Flacco here. And it's funny because I don't remember you guys or anybody else talking about what a great game Joe Flacco played when they beat the Patriots here in 2009 and how integral he was to the team. Mm-hmm. But then I see like Dan Orlovsky and all these other people. I don't remember people talking about how Joe Flacco got them into the right play and got them into the right run and like all the great stuff he did. But with Jimmy, it's like, oh, look at this run he got them into and oh, he checked out of this play. I mean, he literally didn't throw the ball. It's amazing to me.
Who said he played a great game?
Some of these analysts out there are saying he's not getting enough credit.
I never said he played a great game.
Yeah, but you side with them.
You generally seem to side
with them. No, I don't.
Yeah. So I also would say that.
Nope, I think Garoppolo's a good quarterback and you can win with him. He hasn't done much this postseason. You've never heard me say anything but. This is why I hate talking about this topic with you two. Because, again, you pour it on too thick. It's all bullcrap.
We haven't even said anything. I just gave you a fact. That's just a fact about them being the fifth team.
So he completely blows.
No, I didn't say that. Now you're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I'm just saying he really hasn't done anything this postseason.
He hasn't been tested.
At all.
Agreed.
And I'm going to say, I think that is in part by design of the 49ers, Jimmy. There's a quote that we're going to play here coming up that if you look at it, I think Kyle Shanahan's protecting him.
They run to pass. They don't pass to run. They're a run-first team. Their offense is a run-first offense.
Let's hear their sound. They prepared some sound.
Yeah, good. I want to hear this. That'll be good.
So this is Ryan Clark on
Get Up ESPN talking about why Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't thrown the ball that much the last couple of games for the 49ers in the playoffs and that it's not an accident.
Here's what happens. You look at the numbers and then you look at the film. When you look at the film, you go, well, KJ Wright could have picked that one off. Ooh, Bobby Wagner could have picked that one off, but he ended up driving the football. And so you have all these things. When I look at Jimmy G, do I think he can get it done? I do. Will I be surprised if he makes some clutch throws? I will not. Would I rather not trust him? Absolutely. And that's the same way Kyle Shanahan has felt since this interception we're watching that he threw to Kendrick. He's thrown 14 passes in six quarters.
And so I think that's a fair assessment. Like, I agree with Ryan Clark. Do I think he can make the plays? Yes. Would I be surprised if he made them? No. Do I think he's being protected by the coach who would rather not put the game in his hands and would like to keep the game out of his hands as much as possible? Yes, I do. Yeah, I think that's different from other quarterbacks that take their team to the Super Bowl.
Again, here's an unbiased fact to back up that information. Since that horrific interception against the Vikings, Kyle Shanahan protecting his quarterback has called 15 pass plays and 72 runs. Again, that's just a fact. That's what's happening.
And that's not saying Jimmy's not good, but it's just saying they're trying to manage him and protect him. And I think that's different from a lot of other quarterbacks. That's a lot closer to Brad Johnson or Trent Dilfer than it is to a Rodgers or a Brady or a Mahomes taking their team to the Super Bowl.
Not Brady.
That's all I'm saying.
Not Brady in 01. If they could run it, they ran it.
It's interesting you bring that up because I decided to look that up today. First of all, the game they won against the Raiders, you know Brady threw the ball 52 times.
Yeah, because they were down 10 points in the second half.
Yeah, and he had to lead them back. And the drive in overtime, when they set up the field goal from Vinatieri, the second one, he was 8 of 8 for 45 yards. They literally put the game in his hands. They literally put the game in his hands. And the Super Bowl...
Hold on a minute. Who is the most fourth quarter comebacks in the NFL right now?
I think it's Garoppolo.
It's Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, sure. I'm sorry to bring that fact to you.
Yes, that's fine.
Do you know who has the most comeback wins this year down 10 points or more?
Is it Jimmy?
It's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Absolutely.
So when he's been asked to do it, he's actually done it.
Not in the playoffs.
He hasn't been asked to do it. When he's been asked to do it, he's actually done it. And I'm not telling you he's Tom Brady, but to say that when a running back is gaining 10 yards a carry, why would you ever let any quarterback throw it? I mean, really? That's just stupid. Of course. Mostert averaged a first down every time he touched the ball. I wouldn't let anyone throw it if I'm getting 10 yards on the ground. And I don't even believe in running the ball. But if the defense will give you 10 yards a carry, who would throw it?
Yeah, that's fine. It's just don't give the guy credit for the handoff, seems to be sort of what's happening.
Not here.
It's like, again, it's fine. It's no problem to be a sidecar and go to a Super Bowl. There's no shame in that.
Agreed.
But let's just call it what it is. Instead of, you know, instead of trying to say that it's something different. And to your point, because you were very adamant about Jared Stidham being able to, I don't think they would be any different a team if Nick Mullins was a quarterback. I really don't. I think it would be, they'd still have the great running game. When Nick Mullins replaced him last year, he beat the 49ers he beat the Seahawks as many times as Jimmy did this year.
Chris, could Nick Mullins go into New Orleans and do it to the Saints?
In this offense, I think he could.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not. I'm out of my mind if you're going to say that Jared Stidham, who the first throw he ever made in the NFL was a pick six, would have led the Patriots to the division this year. But Nick Mullins, who went in there last year on a terrible 49ers team, Jimmy was 1-2 with that team when he got hurt, completing 59% of his passes. Mullins came in afterwards and went 3-5 and posted better numbers. That team last year sucked, regardless of who the quarterback was. This team is good, regardless of who the quarterback is this year.
I can't tell you what's his name?
Nick Mullins.
Would do, because I don't know who he is. So he might.
But you can tell me what Stidham can do.
Yeah, I've seen him a little bit more. But
in what games? Because Mullins started eight actual NFL games, BS preseason games.
I didn't watch him, so maybe Mullins is good too. I don't know. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Okay.
I just think the Patriots won the division on something other than quarterback play this year.
I agree. And the Niners made it to the Super Bowl on something other than quarterback, but we're in complete agreement.
Not true.
Done.
What do you mean not true?
I mean, the quarterback was not the most important player on the Niners.
Yeah, but they didn't do it without quarterback play.
Nobody said without. It's just it's not the strength of the team.
You just said without quarterback play. You said the Patriots went 12-4.
No.
Was not the strength of the team.
Not on the back of quarterback play.
Okay.
Meaning not as the driver.
Exactly. We're in agreement. Not on the back, right?
Yeah,
that's fair.
But that completely ignores the New Orleans game.
Why are we harping on one game?
Most important game played in the NFC this year.
The most important game was the Seattle game, where they were inches away from losing. Which, by the way, would not have been Jimmy's fault and by any means. But the Seattle game was the most important game. If they lose that game, they're the 5 seed.
The New Orleans game was every bit as important.
It was not.
And New Orleans got lit up by Kirk Cousins in a wild card round. So you got to take that with a grain of salt.
Chris told me last week that Cousins is good.
He's
wrong on that.
Garoppolo's also the best third down passer in the league in terms of conversions, in terms of picking up first downs on third down.
I'm not saying he's not good.
Let me finish.
Okay.
That there's a bunch of data out there, and it's not just a New Orleans game, that when they've needed him, he's been there more often than not. Not every time. No one's there every time. But more often than not, when they need the third down, he's picked it up for them. And when they've needed the points, he's put them up. And when they've needed the fourth quarter drives, he's made them more often than not. And that's happened all year long. And now you don't have to acknowledge it. You don't have to care about it. But that is a fact. That is a hard, cold fact.
One score games in the fourth quarter, he was the highest rated passer in the NFL.
He's in a very quarterback-friendly offense. I mean, this offense made, and it's not an accident. That's why Bill sent him there, because he knew he would succeed. What do you guys think? Are you guys big Matt Ryan fans? Because when Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator, he won an MVP.
Well, Bill was right. No question. He was right about the player, and he was right about the coach.
He was definitely right about the coach.
And the system that he sent
him to.
It's
a very quarterback-friendly system.
I detect a real, like, anger, an underlying anger when this whole thing comes up with these two.
Chris. I do, too.
And all we are is just spouting fact. That's
Chris, whenever Brady leaves or left, okay, whenever that happens, would the Patriots be okay if Garoppolo was a quarterback?
Totally, and I would, too. I wish he were still here. I think he'd be the ideal replacement. Again, you guys turn it into this black or white thing. The guy, I'm not saying he can't play. I'm just saying that he's getting an outsized amount of credit for the team's success.
Not here. I'm not. I didn't say a word about his game. He hardly did anything.
Yeah,
I mean, overall, the whole season.
Take it up next week when Jimmy Garoppolo plays in the Super Bowl. Here's the up.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit, or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
You said that you don't really care how often you row and all you really care about is winning. Somebody like Richard Sherman will see any sort of slights against him and use that as motivation. I'm wondering, with all this discussion about you, your play, the fact that you threw just 8 passes in the NFC title game, how you use that or how you view it, if it's even on your mind at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sherm, everyone has different ways to, you know, get motivated. And very similar to Sherm, I do the same thing. You know, I hear all the stuff and everything, but it's just you can't put that all out there all the time. It's just, you know, you have to do with it what you will. And take it for what it is. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, you got to go out there and play football.
That's how Garoppolo responds to the criticism. Gasper, give me some Red Sox thoughts. I know you have them.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, when you look at the Red Sox, here we are. We're basically 2 weeks away from the start of spring training. And you don't know who your manager is. And you don't know if your best player is going to be on the team when you break camp or start camp, I should say. I just find that shocking. Like, it's kind of a mess. You know, but I guess, you know, who's this guy, Jose Peraza, they got in the offseason? Like, it's been a really weird offseason. And in terms of Mookie Betts, there was the report in The Athletic about what they could get back from the Padres. There was a report Buster Olney had about them trying to attach David Price or Nathan Eovaldi and those salaries. That's kind of the tariff for getting Mookie Betts. It just feels like, to me, they're groping in the dark here. And I'm a little concerned that maybe they already missed the best deal for Betts. Because I think the closer you get to spring training and sort of the end of the offseason, I think clubs are inclined to see how their offseason plan pans out and then make a move. And if you get into June or July, and look, you might disagree with me on this, Maz, I just feel like if a team's not willing to pay a certain freight for Betts now, when they would get a full season of him and a full impact, I don't find it to be more likely that they would pay that freight or something similar to it in June or July when they're going to get the guy for 3 months. I'm very fearful that the ship might have sailed on the best offer the Red Sox could get for Mookie Betts already.
Well, especially when it's a high-salaried player, right? Those guys are always easier to move early in the offseason. Because the later you get, now your money's getting eaten up and teams have less to spend.
Well, the budgets are set.
Right. It's totally, again, and they've used the budgets, right. So, you know, it just gets a lot harder. I think that they, you know, the deals that weren't out there that they wanted, and they held on to them, and now they're kind of screwed. Which is why, by the way, John Henry came out, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, and said, you know, there's this whole thing about we wanted to cut payroll. Not true. What? You said it at a press conference. Henry said it at a press conference. We need to be under the threshold. So then they've been unable to dump the money, and now it's all of a sudden it's we didn't need to be under the threshold? I mean, he said it. It's on tape.
We would have ripped the crap out of them if that didn't come out just a day before they got caught cheating and that whole thing blew up. That sort of buried that. But
yeah, and talk about how old I am. I say it's on tape. Okay, it's recorded. I mean, it's out there. You know, like, so I think they backed themselves into a corner and now they're stuck.
Speaking of the cheating thing, Gasper, where do you think we stand with the Red Sox and the league and Cora's status and all of this?
Yeah, I think they're pretty confident that they're not going to get hammered here. I can see why they're confident in light of this Wall Street Journal report that came out this week that there was a secret agreement basically between MLB and the MLBPA to get the cooperation of the players. In order to do that, the players weren't going to be punished. And I'll tell you, I have a real issue with Manfred not being transparent with that in his 9-page summary of the investigation. And instead having this cockamamie excuse about, you know, yes, this was player driven and player executed, but there are so many players involved and it really would be impractical to determine who deserved punishment and who did. I mean, that was a lie. That was an out and out lie. And in a report that the whole purpose of is to restore the integrity, the faith, the credibility that fans have in the game, to have basically an out-and-out lie in there as to why you're not punishing the people that were the most involved in this, I mean, that's really disappointing. It makes me wonder what the heck else they're going to sweep under the rug, including the Red Sox misbehavior potentially, or hypothetically.
It's a containment strategy. It's not an investigation. That's what that is.
Absolutely.
It's a great point.
I think he cut a deal from the very beginning. I think the whole thing was we're going to, you know, once it became public and it was out there, it's all right, we got to limit the damage of this thing. And they made it clear to who the involved parties, what the penalties were going to be, or who was going to be involved, because Cora was a key figure, Beltran was a key figure, and all those guys get fired within, what, 3 days? I mean, what, that's a coincidence?
If you were to guess, where the Red Sox go next on the manager?
I don't know. I mean, I would say probably something internal. You know, Renicky would make a lot of sense, I think, just to sort of keep the status quo. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't. That's why my leadoff thought on this was this is a mess. And it's not necessarily anybody's fault in terms of what's going on with the manager. But talk about a rough first offseason for Chaim Bloom. He's just had obstacles and things thrown in his way and things thrown in his lap that you wouldn't wish on a veteran general manager, never mind somebody in the seat really for the first time. And I like that hire. I think they have the right guy. But I also think, I mean, his hands are kind of tied here. He's trying to multitask. And on one hand, he's trying to find a deal that cuts payroll for the best player on the team and not get killed for not getting enough. And then on the other hand, he's trying to find a manager 2 weeks before spring training. I mean, this is bad. This is a bad, bad situation for any GM, never mind a rookie GM, to be in. And I think it's sort of flying under the radar, just what bad straits the Red Sox are in right now.
I mean, it is someone's fault, though, and I'm sorry. Cora.
That's fair. That's a good point. Yes.
It's Cora's fault. So Cora put them in this bind. It's his fault. You want to blame a person, we blame Cora.
You mean the guy who fell on his sword and they were so happy to just step away voluntarily from the team and they're going to build a statue on Jersey Street? That guy? That Alex Cora?
Gasper's Super Bowl thoughts and your calls, I promise, in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Tannehill. Pressure. Oh, he goes down. Frank Clark got him. And this game is over. And so is the 50-year drought between Super Bowls.
Is this the beginning of a new reign, maybe, in the AFC?
Well, I'd say it's going to be good for a long time. There is no doubt. There is no doubt the Chiefs should have a glorious long stretch ahead. And it really begins now with a trip to Miami.
All right, Casper, do you agree with Jim Nance there that it's now the beginning of a new reign in the AFC? The AFC now goes through Kansas City, et cetera, et cetera?
I do not. I mean, Kansas City's great, back-to-back AFC title game appearances, but I think if Brady comes back to New England and the right weaponry is around him, I think those are the two best teams. So, yeah, I'm not ready to anoint the Chiefs as head and shoulders above everybody else in the AFC and say that it goes through them.
How about the next 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, with Mahomes, I mean, he's so fun to watch and he's so amazing and he just seems to not. You know what I like about him is win or lose, I feel like he gives his team a chance. And that's all you want as if you're a fan. You want to feel like your quarterback, no matter what the score, gives you a chance. And that guy doesn't quit and he gives you a chance.
What do you like in the game?
Surprisingly, I think for you guys, I like the Chiefs. I think that there were some games this year, as good as that San Francisco defense is, there were some games this year, the Saints game, which you guys love to mention, where they had people put points on them. And I just think that Kansas City offense has been so explosive in the playoffs. And I have some questions about the secondary of the 49ers. And I think Mahomes negates some of that pass rush with his ability to get outside the pocket and buy time.
It's a good game?
I think it's going to be a good game. You know, I think it could be a high-scoring game. I think you could be looking at a game in like the 30s. What was that Super Bowl in the 70s that was it 35-31 that the Steelers and the Cowboys Dallas, played? Yeah. I think it could be a game like that, which is that was one of the best Super Bowls of all time. I think it's going to be a good game. And despite everything that you guys have tried to paint me into a corner with Jimmy, I think he's going to have a good game. And I'll tell you what right now, I think Jimmy will throw 3 touchdown passes in this game.
Oy, wow.
Yep. Yep.
Well, what are we going to do with Murray then?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. All I ask for in this game, and I've said it, and it's all I wanted in the playoffs, haven't had it yet, is just I just want the Niners down 6 late. That's all. I just want the Niners down 6 late.
Well, that's Jimmy's specialty, according to Maz, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yep.
He's been pretty good in that spot this year. He has been.
All those memorable fourth quarter comebacks. Sure.
I know. I'm trying to think of one. Yeah. I guess that Saints game, right?
So you get, find that at fakestats.com.
You accuse me of no, and I'm not talking Murray. I'm not even looking at you.
Fakestats.com. No, there's legitimate disgust. I love it.
It's seriously,
great. This is awesome.
But you say that I put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
I think there is every possibility with that guy that he'll have a huge turnover. I've never said anything but you know when you say he's a sidecar and he's handing off this postseason. True, was he a sidecar when Belichick had him?
What do you mean? In the postseason?
No, I'm talking about when. Do you think that that's what he is, and that's all he will ever be as a sidecar?
No, definitely not. I don't think that. No. I mean, he's a good starting quarterback.
He was just really fragile when Belichick had him. Now he's become a fragile sidecar.
Well, he always lights up the Cardinals. We know the Cardinals are his Washington Generals. So he did that,
and then New Orleans,
and then he was crushing. He was crushing the Dolphins until Kiko Alonso crushed him on that hit. But I'll say this year. I feel like Jimmy's learned a little bit when it's time to say the play is over. Like, I give him credit for that because last year he tore the ACL and remember the Kiko Alonso thing. I think he's learned that sometimes it's just better to fight to live another play. And that is good game management. And that is a sign of growth. But I have one last thing on Jimmy Garoppolo. Maz and I were talking about this in the
guys
break.
Are relentless.
And so I asked Maz this question. I want to ask you this. Who is the worst quarterback since 2000, since the 2000 season, to win a Super Bowl?
Well, Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer. Was Dilfer 99?
Dilfer was 2000.
Yeah, I say Dilfer.
Dilfer and Brad Johnson and, well, Flacco was actually good the year he won it. So I don't know, like, do I include him?
But if you had to pick between those three to be your quarterback, who would be last?
Dilfer.
Me too.
Dilfer, the year that the Ravens won the Super Bowl, his quarterback rating in the postseason was 83.7. Jimmy's is currently 83.6.
What does that mean?
He just sucks too.
just saying, he's right now below what you guys agreed the worst quarterback to win a Super Bowl. So, sidecar it is. Best of luck to Jimmy in Miami.
Oh, he's totally been a sidecar so far.
Talk about these guys. What are we going to do with these guys if Garoppolo wins this thing and plays well?
Oh, they'll make some stupid-ass excuse.
No.
It's not going to be a smart excuse, I'll tell you that.
We're going to have to. Murray's going to be in real emotional trouble.
No, I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
I just gave you guys facts.
And I will take it like a man.
No, you had that fourth quarter one score thing. That's a great stat. I just gave you a stat. His passer rating right now is below what Trent Dilfer's was when Dilfer won the Super Bowl.
Chris, you want one for you too?
Yeah.
Just to prove how much the defense has bailed his ass out this year, that sidecar. So the 49ers offense, i.e. Jimmy Garoppolo, has turned the ball over 24 times in 18 games this season. That's a lot. That defense, the strength of the Niners, has allowed 6 of those turnovers to be converted to touchdowns. 3 of those were against the Seahawks and Russell Wilson in Week 9. So, in the 17 other games, 21 turnovers converted into 3 touchdowns. The defense, the strength of the Niners, the reason they're in the Super Bowl, not the sidecar quarterback.
That's because he turns them over in the end zone, Murray. He's got him down at that end of the field or down inside the 10. It's good field position.
Are we done?
This was great.
No,
this
blast.
Needs to be a podcast.
Tremendous.
I'm telling you.
Let's go have a cigarette, huh?
Yeah, that was outstanding. I agree.
All right, Dad, thanks for coming in, Chris.
It's like you two just had sex together.
We won't talk to you next week, unfortunately, because unlike Jimmy Garoppolo, you're not in the Super Bowl, but we'll talk to you
in 2 weeks.
There's
plenty more of this Jimmy Garoppolo talk tomorrow from 11 to 2. Gaspar and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That'll be a balanced program.
So there we go. Thanks for coming in. 90 seconds, no commercials, and then I promise to your phones.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with 2 full bars,
serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.